This is the Let's Talk Tribe Prospect Chat, episode number 2. I am your host, Matt Lyons, and joining me as always is Let's Talk Tribe, Let's Go Tribe, lead prospect writer, Brian Heminger. Brian, thanks for joining me. Let's talk some prospects.
Oh, I cannot wait. I'm ready.
I know you're always excited to talk anything kind of prospects, and we're kind of finally getting to a point where there's something interesting. There's some cuts going on, some players are getting moved around, more top lists are coming out, so it's a good time to be a prospect fan, I think.
Oh, it's a really good time, and a lot of prospects are getting opportunities that they wouldn't be getting during the regular season too. So
yeah,
we're getting to see how they perform at the higher levels.
Yep. So let's start with one of the ones that people are probably going to be wondering most about. Catcher Francisco Mejia, of course, he came onto the scene last year. He's the number one prospect according to a lot of places. He recently got optioned to AA. What does that mean for him or the Indians or his timetable? Just what is that whole? How did he do in spring? Everything about Francisco Mejia.
Okay, well, heading into last show, he was 2-for-10 in spring training, and he decided, I think he was listening to the podcast, and he heard my disappointment, and he decided to just mash the ball this past week. So he did get optioned to AA, but before he got optioned, in the past week, he went 6-for-9 with a double, 2 home runs, one of which was a grand slam that won the game. A walk and only 2 strikeouts. So, I mean, this kid just tore the cover off the ball. By far, he had the best week of any Indians prospect. Just mashed. And, I mean, this kid is so talented. He made a highlight as well on a play where I think there was a guy swung at a ball in the dirt and Mejia lost the ball and then picked it up at the very last second and gunned the guy down at first base when it didn't look like he had a chance in a million years of getting him. I mean, he's just showing off all of his tools right now. So, yeah, Mejia is going to be an absolute monster, and he's already showing that he can hit at this level. So I'm not shocked at all that they – I mean, it's not a surprise that he didn't make the team right out of spring training. I mean, he's never even played AA before, but – I am happy that they optioned him straight to AA. That shows a lot of confidence. I don't know if he'll stay there. I mean, that's where he's just doing some minor league games right now. But I wouldn't be shocked if he stayed there. I mean, the Indians, I mean, he is so good. And he is playing at a high level. And his bat is advanced. And he's ready to go. I mean, we'll get into this in a minute. But Fangraphs posted their top 100 prospects. And he had a potential, they said, for a 70 hit tool. And that, I think, was the highest potential of any player listed. I mean, there are a bunch of guys that had potential 70s. But, I mean, nobody had anything higher than that out of every player in the whole their whole top 100. So that shows a lot of respect.
Yeah, that plus a 70 arm, that's a pretty good catcher combination there, I think.
Yeah. So you don't get much better.
So you did kind of touch on one thing I wanted to talk about. What does it mean? Because a lot of people asked this when I did the original post. What does it mean that he's optioned the AA camp? Does that mean that he's probably going to start the year there? Or is it just kind of that's where his space was, they threw him there for now?
At least for now, I think he'll stay there. Because they haven't really started doing all the minor league spring training level games. But because you got to remember, a lot of prospects are up, you know, doing their thing in spring training with the main roster, too. So I would hope that he'll stay there. At least from what I'm hearing, I think they had Tristan McKenzie at high A as well right now, which would be awesome. I mean, if they were aggressively working with him, too. So we'll see if it sticks. But for now, we don't know for sure. I mean, we'll know 100% when the season starts. But I would love it if that's where he ends up starting.
Yeah, I read that Tristan McKenzie report. It came from CBS. They said in their first line that it was reported by SB Nation, but I cannot find anywhere where anybody has said that. I thought it'd be Chris Cotillo because he's usually the one where if somebody says from SB Nation, it's usually Chris, but I don't know where that was originally reported. I hope it's true because like you said, I want to be aggressive with him. He was so good last year and I don't know where it came from, but I wouldn't be surprised if he starts in high A. So let's move on to those top 100 lists. Eric Longenhagen and the rest of Fangraphs, they released their top 100 prospects. Francisco Mejia, number 37. Brad Zimmer, number 45, and McKenzie, like you said, number 55. And one of the many in consideration prospects was Greg Allen, another prospect who burst onto the scene last season in the outfield. So what do you think of these rankings for the top 100, where the Indians landed?
I think it's interesting. I mean, I'm surprised that they didn't have an Indian a little bit higher. I mean, the first one on their entire list was Mejia, but I mean, he wasn't until 37. So that's interesting. And then, I mean, but once they listed him, they were in close succession to each other. I mean, you had Mejia at 37, Zimmer at 45, and then Tristan McKenzie at 55. So within 18 spots of each other altogether, clumped up there. They definitely were very high on all three of them, had a lot of great things to say. And I think, but I thought the most interesting thing of all was the fact that they completely left Bobby Bradley off every, like, because it wasn't just the top 100. They list 32 honorable mentions, and none of them even had Bobby Bradley. I know Bradley actually dropped a little bit in his rankings for, like, MLB Pipeline, even though last year he did win the MVP and set career highs in RBIs and home runs, and he won the MVP in the High A Lynchburg. But he actually did drop a little bit because his contact rate was so low and his batting average was so low. And I guess Fangraphs did not like his projections as a hitter, like in terms of, I mean, yeah, the power's there, but maybe they didn't like that he's striking out so much and wasn't hitting for a decent average, even though he is still really young for his level. So
do you think, right or wrong, is that sort of tied to the overall perception that just big slugging first basemen aren't as valuable anymore? Like, if this was 3 years ago, would Zad Zimmer or Bradley be ranked a lot higher right now?
I would think so. And you got to remember, I mean, people still find the big slugging first baseman with high strikeout rates and high home runs still super attractive. I mean, you find those type of players on just about every team in Major League Baseball. I mean, a lot of guys trade higher strikeout rate for higher power. I mean, it happens consistently. Guys change their swings so that they can hit more home runs, and they're willing to give up on the contact rate. Like, a lot of projection systems actually like that. So I'm surprised that Bobby Bradley actually dropped down off the list. I'm not surprised that Greg Allen made the in consideration, because I've been singing his praises, you know, for the last year. But I definitely think that Bobby Bradley deserved, I think, to even still be in their top 100. But we'll see. I mean, he's, you know what, if that just lights a fire under him even more, then good on him.
I think if that kind of thing is going to motivate anybody, I think it's Nelly Rodriguez. If you follow him on social media, it seems like every little slight he finds, he takes it and uses it. So I wouldn't have suspected him to be on the list, but the fact that Nelly Rodriguez isn't, I expect him to use that as some kind of fuel.
Yeah, and Nelly's actually had a pretty good spring, too. He batted well over 300 for the Indians. He didn't hit any home runs or anything, but he got on base a lot. He scored some runs, and he got optioned down, too. But I think that was also because I think he suffered, like, a small injury, and they wanted him to work on that and rest it in the minors as well.
So one more. I was just thinking about this while you were talking, so I'm going to throw it at you out of nowhere, but another prospect who missed altogether is Brady Aiken, who I don't remember if he was on their top 100, but he was ranked a lot higher in a lot of things last year. So is the hype just gone from him already?
I wouldn't say it's gone, but Aiken was not on the Pipeline top 100 either this year.
Yeah.
It was last year. Last year he was like number 50. I mean, he was like 50, 55 area. And then all of a sudden, you know, he came back. The velocity wasn't quite there. He didn't really pitch that well. Again, first season after missing well over a year for Tommy John surgery. And, he didn't play great. It's going to happen. You're not going to expect to go out there and go lights out right off the bat. And he did get stronger as the year went, and his velocity improved as the year went. So I think, kind of like I said last week, this year is a little bit more make or break on if he can get that prospect's status back. And I think he can. But I think it's interesting that so many people are just giving up on him after one half season, when in his first stint back from Tommy John surgery. Yeah. I hope that he can use that as motivation, kind of like you're saying with Nelly.
So have you seen anything from Aiken in spring training? Troy Kidwell in the Facebook comments was wondering too.
Not off the top of my head. I don't think he's pitched for the Indians. So I think the only thing I saw was he was present when Corey Kluber and Josh Tomlin did their first simulated games of the year before. It was during spring training when Kluber and Tomlin were being held back a little bit because they pitched so much in the postseason. And so they got a first. So Aiken got a firsthand account of seeing two of the Indians' better pitchers do their thing. Yes. And I think, yeah, Shane Bieber was there, Aaron Cavall, a couple other really good young Indians arms were there too. But I haven't heard anything about how he's doing. But I would assume that he's going to be in a better physical condition heading into this season.
Yeah, I'm sure you know this better than I do, but it is surprisingly difficult to follow prospects in the or spring training, in the minor league spring training.
Oh,
even Michael Brantley playing in the game, there's nothing.
The absolute worst is extended spring training.
Oh, yeah.
Because they keep track of stats in spring training. There's box scores out there. There is nothing in extended spring training, like where these guys are just out there. Maybe they're not going to start the official season in the minor leagues. They're rehabbing and stuff, and there is nothing. I mean, you literally have to be at the games because they don't post anything. There's no stats. There's no box scores. There's no scores. I mean, they don't care at all. I mean, it's just about giving these guys work. It's basically like a practice.
Do fans go to those games? I never even thought
about that. I have no idea. I honestly couldn't tell you because I've never been able to find anything on extended.
They're all just played in the base in the middle of Nevada.
Yeah, I've looked.
Wow. They probably look at Google Maps over the field. It'll just be blurred out because I don't want you to see it. So we're gonna get into questions now. We got another one from Tony Kidwell in the comments. He wants to know, when will Greg Allen become the Tribe center fielder?
And it's Troy Kidwell.
Troy, what was I saying?
Tony.
Oh, Tony. Sorry, Troy.
Troy. But I would say I don't think it happens this year. If anything, if there's a prospect that could become the Tribe center fielder this year over what the Indians already have, it could be Bradley Zimmer coming in after about the halfway point of the season. But I think he has a great chance of breaking camp as the center fielder next season. I expect Greg Allen could be on the Indians by the end of this year too, like especially by the September call-ups, if not earlier. But I mean, with him not having even seen AAA yet, it just probably isn't it's not going to happen this year, but there's a really good shot. If he can continue to develop, I mean, this kid has gotten better every single season of his professional career. So if he can do better this year than he did last year, and last year was pretty damn good, then I would not be shocked in the least bit if he was breaking camp as their 2018 center fielder.
What kind of impact, good or bad, like how Bradley Zimmer does that have on Greg Allen's timetable? Like if he's really good this year, does that slow him down a little? If Zimmer's really bad, do you think they speed Allen up at all, or this is going to be a road dam in center field pretty soon?
It depends. I mean, if Allen is that good and can profile as like the leadoff guy, then I think that they're going to want him on the roster, and then that can push Zimmer to right field or left field. Because you got to remember, Michael Brantley's contract is starting to run out. I think Lonnie Chisenhall's done after this season. So you've got two left-handed bats that need replaced. Zimmer can take over one of those spots. Mm-hmm. So I wouldn't be too shocked that Greg Allen could take Zimmer's center field role, but Zimmer can still have a home in any corner spot. I mean, he's got a 60 arm, and and we all know how good he is at everything else. So he should be fine wherever they put him in any outfield position. And Allen is definitely center field pretty much only.
So a really interesting question from our own Matt Schlichting. He wants to know, if you could trade tools between any prospects in the system to make two players better, who and which tools?
Okay. I've thought about this. There's a couple really interesting ones, but one that I thought would be hilarious would be Yandy Diaz's contact rate with Bobby Bradley's power.
Oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, no.
I mean, Yandy would have, Yandy would have led the International League in hitting last year at AAA if he'd had like two more games worth of at bats. So you get that, a guy that can bat in the mid 300s and hit 30 plus home runs, that would be disgusting. and then for pitching, I would do Ryan Merritt's control with Sean Armstrong's velocity.
Ooh.
So like mid that. To upper 90s, and then a guy that just can paint every corner. I think that would be disgusting too.
Yeah. Are you, so are you trading them or giving each? I guess the one person isn't losing
them,
one.
Yeah, I'm more fusing them into a super mutant.
Yeah. We're going anything. Super, it's not Super Saiyan. What is it? It's just fusing, right?
Yeah.
Dragon Ball Z. I don't know. But either way, we're doing that.
Yeah. We're making a Megazord.
Cause otherwise, like you could just pick, what would you like? Bradley Zimmer's defense for Greg Allen's speed. Just kind of ruin Greg Allen and make Bradley Zimmer really good. Or not Bradley Zimmer, but Bobby Bradley.
You know, yeah, if you put Greg Allen's speed on Bobby Bradley, that'd be hilarious too. Like seeing him motor around the bases, because he is not very high on the speed list.
No, not at all. So our next one is going to be at Demosthenes_Klee. He wants to know, is it looking like the Indians get Anthony Santander back? Does the new elbow thing make a season-long DL stint likely? So I don't even know about this new elbow thing, so I hope you know.
Okay.
I want to know.
Okay, I do. I do. Bring I did my home. Research on this. Please bring Anthony back. But I've been keeping tabs on Anthony Santander. I was all excited because he wasn't cleared to play the field. He's just been DHing all season. And then he finally got cleared to play in the outfield. And then they shut him down and they announced today, literally like 5 hours ago, that he's going to have an MRI arthrogram, which is when they inject like the dye to get a look, and it's for his elbow. And what makes that scary is that's not the area he had the shoulder surgery on to remove the bone chips in the offseason. It was it's in the same arm, but it's in his throwing arm. And the elbow is actually what sidelined him and derailed him as a prospect the last couple seasons. When he was stuck in single A for 3 years, it was because he was having repeated injuries, and the elbow was one of the major ones. So right now, all we know is he just had a little bit of soreness in his elbow, some discomfort that they said. That's what Buck Showalter said. And they know that he has a history there, so they're... And right now, all they're saying is he's going to be out for about 2 to 3 days. Now if he gets healthy and he can play, then this makes it even more likely that we get him back. But if they find something and then they can stash him on the disabled list, because right now he's playing, but if they find something and then he has an actual issue with the elbow, they can hide him on their disabled list. He would still have to get 90 days of playing time between this year and next season and would never have been optioned. But that does make it a little scary that they could have an opening to keep him, because the Baltimore Orioles will do whatever it takes to keep their Rule 5 picks if they can.
Yeah, so anybody on Santander watch, the short of it is, if he's injured, that's bad. If he's healthy, it's good for the Indians.
Yeah, so we want that MRI to come back negative. We want him playing. Right. He actually has played pretty well the past week. I know last week he was batting in the 100s overall in spring training. And I'm doing Santander watch, and this past week he went 4 for 11 with 2 home runs and a walk. So
I wonder if he's going to hit well enough that the Orioles are going to say screw it and just let him stay.
No, that won't happen because they have so many outfielders right now vying for those last couple spots, like with Michael Bourne and Craig Gentry. And that Tavares kid that was their other Rule 5 pick is a little bit more seasoned than Santander, and he's batting over 300 overall too. So like Anthony, if he's healthy, there's just no way that he makes the 25 man.
So our next one comes from Mitch White on Facebook. He wants to know, how does Zimmer not make the starting day roster? Is it possible maybe putting Lonnie back in the infield with Zimmer in right field? That is,
well, I'll tell you, yeah, I'll tell you one thing that's never happening is Lonnie going back to the infield. That experiment is long over. But Lonnie in the outfield's fine. Now, Zimmer's having an amazing spring training. He's been playing great. This past week, he went, let's see, 6 for 15 with 3 doubles and a stolen base. So still just scorching the ball. He did strike out 6 more times. So he's raised that strikeout rate, which was at about 15% overall on the season, to about 23%. So that's a bit more what we can expect from his strikeout rate, maybe even a little bit higher. But scorching the ball. I mean, what's hilarious is, I mean, when he makes contact, he's getting hits. And when he's either basically getting a hit or striking out right now, which is pretty much unsustainable. I mean, that BABIP has got to be ridiculous right now.
Yeah, so Lonnie is not going to third base.
Yeah,
Bradley Zimmer might be up, but he's not going to move.
Yeah, Zimmer will debut with the Indians at some point this year, but I just don't think it happens out of spring training, no matter how good he does. Because you got to remember, Naquin was even better than Zimmer's been doing last year, and the only reason he made it was because Brantley and Lonnie started the year on the disabled list. And right now, maybe Brantley starts on the disabled list. We don't even know that for sure. Brantley just had his first game experience, and he hit a double, and I think of the first pitch he saw. So Brantley looks healthy, and I wouldn't be shocked if he makes the Indians opening day roster. And right now, the Indians have no outfielders that are injured, and everybody seems to be playing fine. So there's really no room for Bradley Zimmer to make the roster out of spring training. And I'm greedy, and I want an extra year. I want an extra year of Bradley Zimmer. So I don't want him called up until at least June, whatever that thing's called.
What is it Super called? 2.
The Super 2.
Yeah.
We'll wait till the Super 2. I mean, we don't have to wait the 2 weeks. Which was super greedy by the Cubs with Chris Bryant. We'll do what we did with Lindor.
So. Yeah.
And that's if people are underperforming or injured or something, even then we might have to wait till September call-ups, but it's a long season. A lot of things can happen. But right now there's just no way Zimmer can make it out of spring training, even though he's playing great.
So we got another live question from Mike Bobble. Bobble, I think. It's been said that the Tribe has a deep farm system. Which position is the deepest? Which is the shallowest?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah, I like that.
I would say deepest position right now for the Indians is probably left-handed pitching.
Which is probably by design based on their drafts, I would think.
Yeah, because you look at the players that were in our like rankings and everything. Left-handed pitchers were huge standouts. I mean, you have Brady Aiken, you have Juan Hillman, Rob Kaminsky, Ryan Merritt, Sean Morimando. That's 5 right there that were in basically our top 15. Mm-hmm. So I would say left-handed pitching, definitely. And then you have Thomas Pannone, who didn't even make our rankings, and he actually led all Indians full-season starters in ERA last season. So, they have a lot of depth right now with left-handed starters. And then probably weakest, I would say probably catcher after Francisco Mejia. We don't really have like another superstar level catcher. I mean, we have a bunch of depth level catchers, guys that can step in, but nobody like that I think could be somebody that you would draft on your fantasy team other than Mejia.
Yeah, unless you're going just by names, then you can draft Sicknarf Loopstock.
Yeah, or Logan Ice.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, I don't know. That's what I was thinking for shallowest, too. Like third base behind...
Yeah, because right now at third base, we got Nolan Jones who's at the top, and then nobody else really is a standout
and third base. And he's 19, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's long ways away.
But that's also one where players get shifted over to third base, so it's hard to like.
Yeah, that's the thing. Yeah, I'll actually have a little bit to say about third base with the. I think there's another question or two coming, but we'll get to that.
The next one, let's see, what is the next one? Oh, from Matt McPhee, he wants to know: reading more and more about Yu Ching Chang being a legit prospect, with Lindor blocking him for the foreseeable future, especially if Lindor gets extended, do they move him to second base and target him as Kipnis's replacement?
Yep, that's the question I was thinking of. Yu Chang Chang is a super talented kid. He He's actually had a few at-bats with the Indians in spring training, although I believe he is 0-9 or 0-10 for batting zero, for 0.000. Super talented kid, really young. I think he's 21 right now, and he's going to be playing at AA this season. So, I mean, younger than most people at his level. And if anything, he would be moving to third base. But again, Indians might have third base locked up for years to come with Jose Ramirez, too. So it seems like it could be a rough patch for any Indians infield prospects at any position right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, because right now the closest ones are the best potential positions that are available are first base, because Santana's contract is up at the end of the year. So that opens the door for Nelly Rodriguez and Bobby Bradley. But second base, I mean, Kipnis is still locked up till when? At least 2020, right? Or is it 2019?
Yeah, he's got a couple years left, yeah.
So even there, it's a little tricky. Like, a kid like Tyler Krieger's probably going to be ready in 2 years, and Kipnis will still be here. So that's another thing. So it's going to be tough. Like, the Indians have some really good players already on the major league team, and they're going to have to make some tough decisions with trading away some of their really talented young prospects in those infield positions.
So I went to Twitter to make sure we didn't have any extra questions, and just a complete coincidence, TCP Photography, who takes a bunch of pictures for, I don't know if it's officially for the Indians or their minor leagues, but he always gets a bunch of great shots. He said Brady Aiken looked great during his start for the Lake County Captains. So there you go.
Awesome.
He's in minor league for Class A.
And I love that he's on Lake County right now, because that is. I think something I pointed out last week was I was hoping that he would start the season on a full season club, and Lake County's the lowest level team that starts full season ball. So I hope that he stays there.
Yeah, that's a cool coincidence. So our next question, our last, I believe, this was actually asked for Monday's podcast, but we usually don't answer prospect questions there. So Sad Boys ENT, he wants to know, what minor leaguer is having the best spring training and why?
All right. Now, in terms of smaller sample size, I would say the best spring trainings are, now this is small sample size, I would say Francisco Mejia and like Giovanni Urshela. I mean, they both hit grand slams. They're both batting over 400, but they haven't played a lot of games. Urshela's played 10 games. Mejia played 11 games. Now, in terms of who I think is actually having the best minor league spring training season so far out of the minor leagues, I think it's got to be Bradley Zimmer. I mean, so far he's played 16 games. He is second on the team in at-bats, so he's getting a lot of time right now. He is leading the team in runs, I believe tied for leading the team in runs with 10, tied with Greg Allen, of course, because even though Allen hasn't been playing as well, the guy is just a run-scoring machine. He is leading the team in hits, tied with Michael Martinez, of all people. I believe he is leading the team in doubles. Let me double check. Yep. He is second on the team in home runs. He is leading the team in RBIs with 11, and that's including, you know, guys that have hit grand slams. So, you know, and he's stolen two bases without getting caught. And he picked up at least one outfield assist this past week. I mean, he has just been all over the place. Bradley Zimmer is showing exactly why he was a top-rated prospect, at least so far in spring training. And he is just tearing the cover off the ball and doing all the little things, too.
Just don't say that too loud, Brian. He needs to get some work until just roughly around June.
A little more work.
June, July. Just off the top of my head, somewhere in there. So, yeah, that's all our questions. Thanks for joining us again, Brian.
My pleasure.
And everyone else, we will see you next week. See you on Monday for the regular podcast if you're there. If you want to email any questions for Brian next week, sbnletsgotribe@gmail.com. You can find us on Twitter and Facebook. And Brian, where can they find you? I never ask you that, I don't think. So I know you can find him on Let's Go Tribe, obviously. And you started a new podcast yesterday. And I know you do all kinds of stuff. So where can everybody find you?
I'd say the easiest one is just my name, at Brian Heminger.
There you go. Okay, well, there you go. Everybody, we'll talk to you next week.
can you fall?